So this is a real famous verse that Prabhupada quoted a lot. 10th verse, 5th chapter, 1st canto. Translation, those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. So I'll say, you can repeat. Those words
which do not describe
the glories of the Lord,
who alone can sanctify
the atmosphere of the whole universe,
are considered
by saintly persons
to be like unto
a place of pilgrimage for crows.
Since the all-perfect persons
are inhabitants of the transcendental abode,
they do not derive
any pleasure there. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Crows and swans are not birds of the same feather because of their different mental attitudes. The fruitive workers or passionate men are compared to the crows, whereas the all-perfect saintly persons are compared to the swans. The crows take pleasure in a place where garbage is thrown out, just as the passionate fruitive workers take pleasure in wine and women and place for gross sense pleasure. The swans do not take pleasure in the place where crows are assembled for conferences and meetings. They are instead seen in the atmosphere of natural scenic beauty, where there are transparent reservoirs of water nicely decorated with stems of lotus flowers and variegated colors of natural beauty. That is the difference between the two classes of birds. Nature has influenced different species of life with different mentalities, and it is not possible to bring them up to the same rank and file. Similarly, there are different kinds of literature for different types of men of different mentality. Mostly the market literatures which attract men of the crows categories are literatures containing refused remnants of sensuous topics. These are generally known as mundane talks in relation with a gross body and subtle mind. They are full of subject matter described in decorative language, full of mundane smiles and metaphorical arrangements.
Mundane similes, I'm sorry, and metaphorical arrangements.
Yet with all that, they do not glorify the Lord. Such poetry and prose on any subject matter is considered decoration of a dead body. Spiritually advanced men who are compared to the swans do not take pleasure in such dead literatures, which are sources of pleasure for men who are spiritually dead. These literatures in the modes of passion and ignorance are distributed under different labels, but they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being. Excuse me. And thus the swan-like spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. Such spiritually advanced men are also called manasa, because they always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. This completely forbids fruitive activities for gross bodily sense satisfaction or subtle speculation of the material egoistic mind. Social literary men, scientists, mundane poets, theoretical philosophers, and politicians who are completely absorbed in the material advancement of sense pleasure are all dolls of the material energy. They take pleasure in a place where rejected subject matters are thrown. According to Swami Sridhar, this is the pleasure of the prostitute hunters. but literatures which describe the glories of the Lord are enjoyed by the Paramahamsas, who have grasped the essence of human activities. Once again, the verse. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who can alone sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows, since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode. They do not derive any pleasure there. Om Agyantya Marindasya Gananjana Chilakaya Chakshur Unlimitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stabitam Jena Uttame Swayam Vidavayam Tadanti Swapadantikam Mancha Kalpa Tarubyas Chakritas Indudeva Chakrati Tanam Pavanigya Vaishnavesyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasavi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So once again we can see Prabhupada's style of writing. He doesn't leave any questions, does he? Very easily. He's the easiest read author of all time. Very easy to understand Prabhupada's point and his mood. Very easy to pick up on it. What's he saying here? Narada Muni is saying that those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, what is that? That's prajalpa. That's everything else. You see? Everything else. If you... You know, when I go out to walk, I used to go out to walk in parks, but it's too hot to do that. So I go to malls, and sometimes I don't even go walk at all, so I've got to get back into it. But it's fun to overhear or listen to people as they talk, you know, to kind of just to see what are the people that we're trying to save? Where are their mentalities? You see? So, and we hear things like, we can hear people say things like, well, you know, little Johnny's going to soccer. Well, little Linda's going to dance recital. And Mary's going to Yale. Well, Harry's going to Harvard. And it's just back and forth, you know. The conversation is mundane like that. People really don't know what to say. You see, they're uncomfortable if they sit down with one another and nothing is said. If I don't say something and I'm sitting with you and you're not saying something, I'm wondering, well, why doesn't he say something? Is there something, does he not like me anymore? You know, I don't really have anything to say, but okay, let me think, hey, hot enough for you? You know, don't you just, they don't say that so much in Arizona, though. They say it in other places. They say it in Texas, but they know better than to say it in Arizona, because yes, it is hot enough. So, banter, conversation that really means nothing, and they might even remember some of it. And once in a while, the conversation gets really juicy because I find out something about you that I can talk about, or we can talk about him, or these two people are having an affair, or something, or the latest scandal, or the latest conspiracy theory, and you see people. Rather than listen to the pastimes of the Lord, I'm interested in the latest. What's the latest conspiracy theory? What are they going to do to us next? We never know who they are, although there's speculative speculations on who they are. And they seem to change. You know, they're going to do this to us. They're going to do that. They're going to take our guns away. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. So people are always worried about them. And it's fun to talk about because it gives you something to talk about rather than praising the Supreme Lord and how to further Lord Chaitanya's movement, you see. Even the devotees get hooked into this. We see it time and time again, you see. Srila Prabhupada didn't linger on any of this garbage. He didn't talk about this. And he discouraged us from talking about this Gramya Katha. Gramya Katha is village gossip. You know, talking about that. If it's something serious. And the thing of it is, it's like sometimes I talk with people and they're so eager to talk about Something to do with one of the things that's real common is health issues, you know, like foods that you shouldn't eat or whatever. So, you know, you can ask them, you know, I've done this, and you get an embarrassed face when you say, oh, really? I shouldn't eat wheat anymore, gluten, I should, whatever, you know. There's always something. There's always an evil something you shouldn't eat. You know, they pick on salt, they pick on sugar, it makes me dizzy, you know, rather than just eating a balanced diet. So they're always looking for something new. So they'll say something like, you know, you shouldn't do this. And I say, oh, that's amazing that you say that. Could you share with me your clinical research? Well, I didn't do it here. Oh, okay. Could you share with me the clinical research that you looked over before you made your decision? Oh, I didn't look at any. Oh, so you took it on hearsay. You didn't see any research. As a matter of fact, the guy that told you didn't see any research. As a matter of fact, we're not really sure if anybody ever did any research. Or if it was done, who did it? You see. And I was talking with Krishnakirti Prabhu. He's very genius. He works for the government. At least he used to. He used to handle their computer system, the firewall to keep the Russians and the Chinese from getting in, you know. So he's a pretty brilliant guy. He had the top security clearance, the highest top secret security clearance of anybody in the country, or as high as you can get. Because he had to deal with some really heavy stuff. So they checked him out. They found he was a Hare Krishna devotee, and they felt like, that's okay. I mean, that's okay. It's okay for you to be a Hare Krishna. So anyway, he's quite genius. His mind works differently than a speculative mind. He's so genius that unless you get to know him, you wouldn't think he's as genius as he is. You know, but the genius mind works very differently than a speculative mind, because it does not, repeat, does not speculate. It deals with facts. You know, this fact plus that fact might equal this truth or whatever. Otherwise. So he was telling me that the way that they do these surveys, the statistics that they use, you can use statistics to prove anything. You put a spin on it, you see. And the way they do it is they take a series of tests and then they select the ones that will prove their point. That's done in marketing all the time. They can show, oh, we have so many clinical tests. We've tested this, we've tested that, and here's our results. And you can look at the results, and they're true. They're right on. But they selected the ones that favored. He said, what you do, what the government does, when it comes down to people dying, in other words, when you've got to know the truth, the difference between people living and dying, you've got to do it only one way, and that's random selection. You do several tests, and you select randomly tests to escape bias. If you have any bias, if the tester has any bias, then it taints the whole thing. It's useless knowledge. Although some people will take it and say, oh, this is proof. Here's my proof, you see. So I say all this to point out what's going on in the material world. People have so much to do, so much to talk about, other than the Supreme Lord. To glorify the scene. If you're in a crowd at work and everyone's talking about office gossip, and all of a sudden you start praising Krishna, they're going to think you're a nut, aren't they? They're going to think he's off. Because you're associating with crows. You're associating with people who really are not looking to glorify the Supreme Lord. For that, you need to associate with swans. You see? Because they're looking for the garbage. What they would really like is some real garbage news about somebody. Did you hear the latest about so-and-so? You see, that's the grumya katha, the village gossip. So the swan-like men avoid this kind of talk. You know, emphasis on the word avoid. Avoid meaning to walk around, leave it alone, do not indulge in, do not hear it. Do not repeat it. That's what we mean. The swan-like men avoid this. You see, we're too busy trying trying to glorify the Supreme Lord. We don't have time for this, you see. And besides, even if we did have time, which I can't conceive as having time, we have so much else to do. We're always trying to get our service done, get our rounds done, get enough rest for the body. So many things we have to do. But if we had time, why would we want to partake in this type of talk? Why would we want to lower our mentality to that of crows? You see, we need to avoid it. That doesn't mean that we're bad people because we get sucked into it from time to time, because it's going on all around us. There's always somebody, even devotees, you find, have something to say about something that really doesn't mean anything. And again, if you use the process that I was talking about, you know, oh, can you show me your clinical research? Oh, I didn't do any. What did you study? I don't know. I got it off the internet. Or, you know, somebody told me. And I didn't ask them if they did any research. So in other words, we don't know it's true. And fact is, it generally isn't. Because these things keep changing. They keep changing. The health stuff, especially. You know, fat used to be horrible for you. It's going to clog your arteries. And then the same scientist that said that 30 years later came back and said, oops, we were wrong. Sorry. After 30 years of people trying to squeeze the fat out of their diets, you see, and trim it to the point, then they said, oh, when you reduce your fat intake too low, your body makes a chemical to make up for the amount of fat that you need. And that chemical has a tendency to clog your arteries. Your body has to make, because so in other words, it has a reverse effect. And we can go on and on about how they change. You know, it used to be ghee. Ghee was taboo for the health food people. Oh my God, you know, ghee and coconut oil was terrible. It'll kill you. It'll clog your arteries in 5 minutes. Stay away from that stuff. And now they're touting it. Now they're saying that the people on the cutting edge of the health food industry are saying ghee is really good for you. You know? Of course, it has to come from free-range cows and all this. You know, then they have to throw in their stuff, you know. Coconut oil, they're really saying is good for you. But just a few years ago, it was horrible for you. So an intelligent man realizes that if you can't make your mind up, I don't think you really know anything. I'm not buying any of your... If you keep changing your mind, I'm sorry, sir, but I don't want to go along with the ride. So you and your industry, you go and do your thing and market your products, however it is, your products and your diets and whatever it is that you're selling. And it all gets back to, if you associate with swan-like men, they're going to talk about the glories of the Lord and how to further this movement. You see, there's no room in their minds for anything else. Who was it? My Kamapa, we were talking just the other day about sometimes you lay down to sleep and your mind is just full. You know, it's just, your body needs sleep, but your mind is saying, no way. No, I've got something that I need to go over, some sort of service, you know, something that's, I'm about some project that I'm finishing up, some project that I'm about to take on, some people that I'm dealing with, some situations here, some situations there. Maybe I'm going to go here, maybe I'm going to go there. Gee whiz, I'd love to go to sleep. And the mind says, no, we have to go through this. Sorry. And then if you can get to sleep, you wake up an hour and a half, 2 hours later, and you're wide awake. And the mind says, look, I told you. We're not going to sleep. Now that body of yours can't sleep without me. I'm not sleeping. I'm the mind, you see. So, we have so much to think about. It's infinite. We can, if we need to think about something, we have an infinite amount of Krishna Katha that we can go through our mind. We can run through our mind. There's an infinite amount. If we don't have any handy in our mind, we can open one of these books. If you don't use books, you can use a computer or whatever. You know, I'm going to go to one of these, an iPad or something like that, just so I can carry all the Prabhupada's books with me. You know, I think that's a great... And that way, if I'm someplace like on a train or on a plane or whatever, you know, in a rest area someplace when I pull over to rest, I can pull it out and just read a little bit, you see. So let's not be caught up like the average Joe. The average Joe in America needs something to talk about. And I want to be the first to tell you what I heard, you see. And it seems kind of strange that everybody tells it to you like it's true. It's true. Everybody forgets. I always like to ask people, well, you know, what if you were in a court of law and you're trying to make a point based on hearsay evidence? You know, the defense attorney would say, "Object, Your Honor, hearsay." When the judge would say, you know, "Objection sustained." In other words, you can't do that. Get out of the court. You've got no rights at all. I can go on hearsay. Well, I heard that somebody heard that this will kill you if you eat it. Or that these people are trying to enslave you. Or this is going on. The fact of the matter is, none of us know. We don't know. I don't see, let me see, any scientists in the room? All the scientists, please hold your hands up. Anybody that's, so nobody really knows, you know? Is there anybody in the president's cabinet here, you know? So there's probably a lot about the government we don't know. A lot we hear about, you know? And none of it worth talking about. We have so much that we have to do. We've got this huge job of spreading this movement. See, we need to become swan-like men and make others swan-like men and women. I'm not leaving out the ladies. Swan-like persons. What does that mean? Did you hear the description? The crows are looking for the refuse. You can see especially in India, where places where there are piles of garbage. You don't see, you know, you have to go to the dump to see garbage here, but in India there's piles of garbage here and there, and you'll see the crows will be there picking through it. They're attracted to it, you see. The swans, on the other hand, are not attracted to anything dirty. As a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada has said that a swan has the talent. You can take a half a glass of milk and add a half a glass of water and give it to the swan, and the swan can drink the milk out of and leave the water. They have this ability to do that. Yeah, swan-like. So the Paramahamsas, the swan-like men, this Hamsa. Hamsa means, is talking about a swan-like bird. It's actually not a bird. The Hamsa. It's pronounced Hung-Hung-Sa. When there's a dot over the M, it's not pronounced M. You know, it's Hung-Hung-Sa. So, it's like Nisringadev is not Nisrimadev, it's Nisringadev. So, the Hung-Sa is a swan-like bird. It's actually more like a goose. There really is such a bird. And they fly over Mount Everest. They can fly at like 35,000 feet, which you would think birds couldn't do. They can catch a draft when they come across the Himalayas. And they've been reported flying up to 150 miles per hour. You know, they're a super bird. They're super in every way. They're a goose-like, swan-like creature. The Hamsa, really, it's swan-like. But it's the standard that the swan tries to follow. The Hamsa. So the Paramahamsas, the pure devotees of the Lord, are compared to this super swan, this super swan-like creature that only goes for delightful things. You see, the devotee should be engaged in delightful conversation. Delightful, why? Why delight? That's something that will delight the Lord and the Lord's devotees. We're trying to bring pleasure to the Lord and bring pleasure to the Lord's devotees, you see? So, we have to run from this type of garbage discussion, you see? It was dissatisfying. Srila Vyasadeva, excuse me, Srila Vyasadeva was dissatisfied because he wasn't glorifying the Lord. Nard Muni is pointing it out here. And he drives it home in this verse. That there's no way you can be satisfied because you're not glorifying the Lord. A mundane man would say, what are you talking about? Glorify the Lord, glorify the Lord, glorify the Lord. Come on, isn't there some time for sports? For all this other these other goodies? You know, when am I going to crank up my 70s tunes and listen to those? You know, I like to talk cars. Don't you like to talk cars? You know, there's just a multitude of wonderful Gurumya Katha, trash Katha, for the crow-like minds to go sift through. Now, why do you think that they're attracted to it? Because they're not attracted to the swan-like discussions of the Lord. You know, you can start talking in a group of people about Krishna Katha, and a lot of times somebody will say, oh, it's getting pretty deep here. You know, they want to shut it off. Let's roll over to whatever, you know. Like, oh, it's pretty deep for me. I'm getting a headache. If you force me to think about something as spiritual as that, you know, I'm just not, I'm suffering. You're causing me to suffer. Huh? Yeah, what about them cowboys? You know, you think the Yankees are going to do it again? I mean, come on, let's get into some real conversation. You and your Krishna this and Krishna that. Don't you ever get tired of this Krishna? What they're saying is, I get tired of this. My mind is tired. I need to rest it on some nice Gurumya Katha. I need some trash talk. You know? I need some... don't you know any off-color jokes? You see? They're gonna label you as a dunce, as a nut. And that's okay. Because we are crazy. We're crazy. We're crazy for Krishna. In their measure, we're not sane. That's why in the beginning, so many years ago, back in the 70s, they couldn't understand what was going on with this Krishna consciousness movement. So they accused Srila Prabhupada of brainwashing. They thought, this isn't normal for people who are perfectly engaged in having fun, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, to dump it, move in the temple with this Swami, shave their heads, put on orange cloth, like Bhakti Aaron. You see? Singing or dancing on the streets all the time. All this. Every time you see those people, you ever notice they've got this armful of books, they're trying to get you to take a book or a circular to come to their feast, and they're chanting this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They've got to be crazy. You know, Janis Joplin is available, Jimi Hendrix is available, but no, they're doing this Hare Krishna thing, and it's God this and God that, spiritual life, you see. So the crows are going to be detracted from this. They're going to feel like, well, I've got to run. I've got to get away from this. This is too much of the mode of goodness for me. You see, I need some mode of passion, and I'm dying to get back in the mode of ignorance so I can pull the wool back over my eyes. You see. So the devotee should always avoid this. It's difficult. I know it's difficult because... there's so much of it. And as Tali Yuga goes on, there will be more of it. Let's just do our job to kind of quench it a little bit, you know, to quash it. In our circles, let's not spread it. Let's talk about Krishna Katha. So are there any questions or comments?
You can see into things.
Yeah, you can see. And sometimes people's minds are in a mood that they don't want to see very deep. They don't want to see very deeply. Seeing very deeply causes me to make commitments. When I understand more than I want to do more, that means making more commitments to service or commitments to Guru and Krishna. And I'm not ready for that because I'm perfectly happy the way I am. I can coast a little bit. So I don't want to go any deeper. So sometimes there's that element. Sometimes we have to engage. It's just like if we're working on, let's say the walk-in cooler breaks down. We're going to have to talk about, you know, electric motors, seals on a door, maybe things that we can, that'll clean the floor better, what color should we paint this. But this is all devotional service that we're talking about. Fixing the temple car, we'll have to talk about certain things. But it's all devotional service because we're taking care of it. It's, you know, we're taking care of Krishna's property. It's just that we don't dwell in that and start living in that. That's all we're talking about. See, you know, devotee sees it as devotional service, and the Vaishnava especially becomes expert at doing anything and everything. You know, sometimes the Vaishnava is a Brahmin, sometimes he's an electrician, and sometimes he's a plowing behind a cow. He's doing the work of a Vaishya. Sometimes he's doing the work of a Kshatriya. You know, he can do anything, and he sees it all as loving service to Krishna. See, so the Vaishnava doesn't run from mundane talk. So long as it's engaged in Krishna's service, then it's not mundane. It becomes purified. Yes.
It's interesting, I was thinking about this verse that Narada Muni is talking to the Vyasadeva compiles the Vedic literatures. So what he's calling the place of plumage crows are literatures that are talking about how one can get elevated to the heavenly planets, how one can make, you know, Karmakanda, all these different things.
Bring them in. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll keep them quiet.
You can talk to them a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
And then when they look into Kali Yuga now, the literature we have that I try to assimilate this verse with is a lot like uber karma compared to what he's talking about. Just thinking how degraded the ages have come from that.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
At the same time, there are spiritual books out there that are considered also.
That's an important point. A lot of people don't think like that. They think that those books which will tell me how to have a happier, more productive life, how to find a more attractive wife, how to have better children. Well, this is all spiritual. So that this term spiritual is being stretched. You know, like you stretch a rubber band, you know. This term is being really stretched in this age. I mean, they're including so many things in that term spiritual that really and truly don't fit, you know. But because it might be different than my neighbor, I'm spiritual. Because I don't think he's spiritual, so I can talk about this garbage or that garbage. And, you know, this term spiritual is just being bastardized. They just don't realize it. But even that part of the Vedas is considered a place of pilgrimage for crows. Because the Hamsas don't go there. They go to the nectar of the Lord.
What part of the Vedas?
The part of the Vedas that talks about karmakanda. How to live a happy, productive life materially.
Which worship the demigods and
how to get a more educated child or you know, better progeny. Those things may be somewhat necessary to most people, but to the Paramahamsa, they're only thinking about glorifying Krishna. They don't worry about that. I think Bhakti Aaron, you had a question.
If you're forced to be around this sort of talk, maintain lots of Krishna.
You can use it to your advantage, you see. You can get swept away and start to think like them. Or you can put up your resistance. It causes you to put up your resistance and to remember. You have to remember, as you're hearing all this, all day, every day, I'm just a devotee of Krishna. I'm just a devotee of Krishna. None of this applies to me. This is all mundane. But I can walk through it. You have to be like a swan, and you have to drink the milk out of the water. It's a little more, it's difficult, but you can do it. You see, you just have to remember, I'm doing this as a service. This is my service to Krishna. You see, so makes the whole thing transcendental. I'm doing transcendental, loving, devotional service to the Lord, and I wish I could help them do the same. And they could do the same too if they just realize they're doing this, their activity, as a service to God. They're not going to think like that. Some of them might, but most of them will think, I'm doing it for me. I went to school for this, and now I'm doing it for me. It's mine. I might throw a couple of bucks here and there around, but basically this is for me.
It's really sad because I see like how hard they work, these people work, but they don't have any really hope. I don't see what they're doing. You know, there is no.
Just think if they work that hard for Krishna. See, that's the real sad effect. If you see how hard and how diligent they try to do their jobs, and you think, boy, if you would try to serve Krishna on that level, I mean, and then you think, wow, I really want to engage this person because I see a valuable potential servant of Krishna. You think, wow, you've got such qualities. You've got more qualities than I have. You could be a much better devotee. But alas, here we are. You're doing it for the reason you're doing it, and I'm doing it for the reason I'm doing it. And that's very unfortunate. Dr. Paul, I'll get to you, Gino.
Well, didn't you also think that this planet, there's no void, number one. Unless you're living in solitude, even in that aspect, something comes up, whether somebody's on the, now we've got, unless you totally isolate yourself completely from news and media and internet.
Yeah, it's tough to avoid it. It's like I was telling Aaron, though, you just have to be thinking about it as you're hearing it. My dear sir, in your mind, you're thinking, oh, this is mundane.
But it's funny because people will tell you how to talk to them. If you listen, even for that mundane stuff, you will find that when you're listening to them, what the interest is to what the connection that you can actually talk about Krishna. That's the thing.
Generally, you can draw some conclusion.
Yeah.
But if you're in a completely mundane crowd, like at work or something like that, you can't do that. You really and truly cannot get away with that. Unless it's some small business where they kind of like Krishna consciousness. I was a leading salesman of a national company back in the 70s. And because I did that very thing, they fired me. I brought in more revenues than the next few guys underneath me. And it was a big decision, but they decided, man, you gotta go. You and this Krishna thing, you got to go. We'll replace you with somebody else, but man, you're out of here. Because you're not going to stop. We could ask you to stop, but we know you're not. So, see ya. I was with them 10 years. Up until I met Srila Prabhupada, I was one of their favorite young boys, going to rise to the top. And then all of a sudden, I'm thumbing, my nose at their stakes and their conventions and talking about Krishna Katha. They said, you're out of here.
Exactly.
Get out of here.
I have noticed though that you do talk to people, and like I said, you listen. Say whatever their mundane stuff is, there's something there that whether it's, where you can relate and you go, have you thought of this? And then all of a sudden when they start coming into it, and then as you use your own experience, I used to do these same things. I know for.
Yeah, sometimes you can actually, if you're in the right crowd, you can bring it around to something spiritual.
Yeah,
you know, and then a lot of times you lose them when you do that. But that's okay.
But
because
how
else are you going to shut them up?
Yeah.
It's either you sit there and listen to their mundane, they'll ramble on and on and on. But if you can draw this conclusion of something to do with God, then they'll usually kind of zip it and think, oh, okay, well, hey, see you later. So at least you implanted your spiritual seed, and they stopped and left. So let me get to Gino.
It's time. It's not that
work. No, go ahead. We got time.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, with Aaron's question, I was always surprised in corporate America, if you actually ask someone what their religious beliefs are, what they will share with you, and you'd be amazed at how much sacrifice some people make out of love of their children, they're trying to raise their children to be godly, and the struggles that they go through too, like they don't like the drinking and stuff that happens at work. And it's amazing that they're really trying out there. And it's, you know, we have a hard time doing our devotional service sometimes. These people are going into the material world every day and trying to be spiritual. Sometimes if we had listened with a compassionate ear, we can offer them some support and some encouragement.
Yeah, I agree. I think mostly what we see is the vast majority of the, you know, the people who like happy hour and tossing down a few brews and Miller time and, you know, yay America, less hot dogs, apple pie, Chevrolet, and quart of beer. You know, mostly that's what we see. But there are a few people out there who are probably a little tired of it, you know. You know, my sister is one of them. She was very, as a matter of fact, she's about to pass any minute. She's about to leave. She's got ovarian cancer. So, but she's one of those Christians who just was tried to be as spiritual as possible and always think of the Lord. She, in her house, they always had, they're like devotees. You know, devotees always have some kirtan going or something. She always had some hymn or something going. And, of course, she would watch a little bit of TV, but not much. She went to church. Every time they opened the doors, which is only a couple of times a week, she was in there. You know, so anyway, there are people like that. But we have to admit, they are in the vast minority. Otherwise, the people who are trying to make money in this country, the corporations and businesses, would be aiming at them if they were in the majority. You see? They would be selling Bibles and stuff that would appeal to a spiritually minded Christian or Muslim or whatever. But they're not. The vast majority is are people like good old redneck USA. You know, and they may even go to church once in a while, but they're not the kind of person. They're basically crows. They're not really. Once in a while, they may stop and dwell on praise of the Lord. But as far as a daily thing, I don't see it. I mean, maybe there's a world out there that you see that I don't see. But you know, maybe I grew up in a different part of America. But I, you know, the deck is stacked against that being the majority. If that kind of person was the majority, this would be a whole different world, and our job would be a lot easier. You see? Yeah.
Well, that's almost as if to say that, you know, as far as us being people, and, you know, calling, you know, there's crows, but we're people. And that, again, we all have ourselves, higher and lower selves within us.
Yeah.
Okay? And people are almost like a combination lock.
Yeah, and so the devotees are trying to get rid of that bad side and let the good side out. You know?
Yeah, it is accessible, but that's the trick. It's like, is it in their lifetime right now to be accessible?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like you were saying, you can hand somebody a book and they just act like a robot, like almost like they're closed off from even being able to approach.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't want to go there.
But what I think that everybody has has the ability to have a combination.
Oh, everybody has the ability. You're exactly right.
I mean, you know,
right.
But whether we can perceive what their combination is the trick. And
well,
whether or not
and what I notice,
been there in this lifetime for them, whether or not...
What I notice a lot in what you're talking about, I think you're just a nicer person. I'm an analytical person. I analyze, when somebody says something, I analyze other things that they say to see if they're telling the truth. It's kind of an autistic thing I have. I see things like that. And I find that most of the time, most of the time, that people are wearing their spiritual mask. They're a crow in swan's clothing. They're just a crow, but they put on a spiritual mask every so often. You know, but most of the time, because those same people will turn to mundane things and go for mundane. They'll have a spiritual moment. They'll put on their swan clothing, and they're appearing like a swan. But then you see them 10 minutes later, and they're a crow, and they're a really good crow. You know, they're picking through the garbage. You know, they're attracted to it. So they've got their spiritual life over here, and they'll turn it on and use it whenever they need it, and they'll shut it off, put it away, and go back to being a crow. So, and that's just reality, you know. Now, there are a few who are swan-like. There are a few.
Is that what you think of me?
No, not at all. No, I'm not talking about anybody first. I'm talking about the people outside these walls. I don't think that of you, no.
I get that way.
No. Yes.
I know exactly what you mean. Because people look at them off as like they're really, really nice and friendly, but they're not. They're not really nice and friendly. Like you said, they come into space, and then all of a sudden you hear like they're talking about this, talking about that. So like 99+% of it is just like, it's not that way. And sometimes it gets like spiritual.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and you can't help with it. You can't help with it. They're all around you in the office and talking. Like,
yeah.
It's not that you can do anything about it. It's like,
yeah. Anyway, we can go on and on, but we should probably break. We'll talk about your question later. Let's shut it off now and break the conversation.